As we continue in our lesson that Jesus is the way, I told you the last week that Jesus is the way to God. Remember, I told you that, and I told you that Jesus said that there's two ways you get to go, right? The wide road and the narrow road. How you guys been doing? I know you made some choices since last I've told you that. You all made some choices. Did you always choose the narrow road? Or sometimes did you choose the wide road? How many be honest? How many that's just the way life is. Sometimes we choose the wide road. Everybody does that, right? That's why the road is what? Wide. The narrow road is lonely. Sometimes it's lonely. And today we're going to talk about Jesus said that not only am I the way to God, but I'm the way to truth. Truth. Truth is a fleeting thing, isn't it? I mean, what is truth? That's a great philosophical question. What is truth? Well, an interesting thing when we talk about truth is not only subjective, but it's based upon emotions. And I'm going to prove that to you in just a minute. I mean, there are multiples and multiples and multiples of denominations. I told you, like in the thousands. In the thousands. And which of those denominations are true? All of them. Now, I know you're looking at me and say, well, how can you say that? Well, the reason I say that, if you ask any one of those folks in those denominations, they're going to tell you that what they believe is what?
True.
Jehovah's Witnesses are going to tell you that what they believe is true. Is that right, Glenn? Mormons are going to tell you what they believe is what?
True.
Christians will tell you what they believe is also true. Roman Catholics and Protestants will tell you what they believe is what?
True.
Hindus?
True.
True. Islam?
True.
It makes perfect sense. Confucianism, Taoism, all those different religions are going to tell you that what they believe is what?
True.
Well, here's a great philosophical thing for you to understand. If everybody says what they believe is true, and they're all different, guess what? Nothing is true. Ain't that fascinating? See, if everybody believes, Jimmy, that everything is true, but everybody believes something's different, then guess what? Nothing then is
true.
What do you believe is true? Let me give you something to think about. A couple years passed, maybe even longer than I can think of. I guess maybe 5 years, I think. I don't know. There was a fellow by the name of Jack Kevorkian. You remember Dr. Jack Kevorkian? Okay, I'm hearing some people saying that with disdain. Dr. Jack Kevorkian, if you don't remember who he was a doctor. And Dr. Jack Kevorkian had decided and take it upon himself that he would practice euthanasia. That's what he decided. And he decided that there were people who were suffering. And he had decided that he would come up with a manner that people could end their lives in a painless way by contacting them and seeing what their illnesses were. For example, ALS was a big one. Lou Gehrig's disease was a big one. And if a person decided that they wanted to end their life, then he would hook them up to a machine that he invented, and he had them sign a paper that they wanted to do this, and he would give them a button. And whenever they were ready, similar to execution, to the death chamber today, they push the button, and chemicals would start coursing through their veins, and they would die. Now, how many of you would say he's a murderer? How many say he's a murderer? Okay, we got one. Some people are going, come on. How many say he's a murderer? He's a murderer. Okay, we got more when I say that, right? We got maybe five or six people. How many say he was an angel of mercy? Now, we got a couple. Now, which one's true?
Both.
Oh, now we got both. Which one's true? Now, see, society would say, and some people are sitting there going, geez, I don't know. Jeez, I'm not sure. How many are saying I'm not sure? See, then where's truth in that? See, you sit there and you go, well, wait a second. Something's got to be true. And somebody here said both of them. Well, certainly, if he goes through the court system, he's going to find himself guilty of birth. I think they did find him guilty, didn't they? They sentenced him to many years in prison, I think. Is that true? But yet the people with whom he provided that service, what do you think? They would think he's a murderer? No. They would find him with the angel of mercy, right? which is true. See, just yesterday or the day before yesterday, you saw in the news that a 79-year-old fella shot and killed his wife in the back of the head. And then he tried to take his own life because she was in so much pain, supposedly. Is he a murderer? We'll get some yeses. How many say he's an angel of mercy? Now, what's the difference then? And so, can you see how truth can be relative? Truth, based upon what you think, can be relative, based upon where you are sitting. Is that true?
Yes.
I mean, it's absolutely for sure. There was a little boy named Clyde. And one day, Clyde was sitting at the banks of the Mississippi River. And his father came to that young boy, Clyde, and said to him, "Clyde, did you push that outhouse in the river?" And Clyde said, "I didn't push an outhouse in the river." And Clyde's father kind of looked at that boy and walked away and came back about 10 minutes later and said, "Clyde, come on, Clyde. Did you push the outhouse in the river? You're the only one here." Clyde said, "Didn't do it, Daddy. I didn't push the outhouse in the river." This time, Clyde's father said, "Boy, I want to tell you a story about a little boy about your age. He's about 10 years old. Same age as you. Name was George Washington. And one day, young George, he did something he shouldn't have done. He cut down a cherry tree. And his father came to him and said, 'George, did you cut down that cherry tree?' And you know what young George did, Clyde? He stood as tall as his 10-year-old frame could hold him, and he said, 'Father, I cannot tell a lie. It was I did. I cut down the cherry tree.' And you know what happened to him for telling the truth, don't you? He became the first president of the United States of America for telling the truth. Now, Clyde, I want you to think about that story. I'm come back and ask you just one more time." But half an hour later, Clyde's father came back and looked at the boy. I said, "Boy, did you think about that story that I told you?" "Yes, Father, I did." "One more time, Clyde. Did you or did you not push that outhouse in the river?" This time, the 10-year-old boy said, "Father, I cannot tell a lie. It was I pushed the outhouse in the river." And Clyde's father took his belt off and whooped that boy. And he went away crying. About a half hour later, he went back and looked up his dad and said, "Dad, I need to ask you a question." "What, Clyde? What do you want to know?" "Father, I don't understand." "What don't you understand, Clyde?" "George Washington told the truth. And he gets to be the first president of the United States of America. And I tell the truth and I get a whooping. Why?" "Well, Clyde, you're awful young and you don't understand the way life works, obviously, because you see, George Washington's father wasn't in that tree when he cut it down." So you see, Eric, your attitude depends on where you're sitting at the time. Truth is relative. Chances are pretty good that we all believe different things about different things. But what makes it true? 2 + 2 is what? And you cannot disbelieve that. Oh, you can go out of this room and think it is 5. Guess what 2 + 2 is, Bob? It's 4. It's always going to be 4. There's no way it can never not be 4. And you can think it's 5 all day long, but it's still what? 4. You can hold your breath until you turn blue. You can make me want to believe 4 + 4 is 9, but it's always going to be 8. And I don't care whatever you think, because it's always going to be what? 8. There's no emotion in math. 3 + 3 is what? 6. It will always be 6. See, there's no emotion in math. Now, you can hold your breath and turn blue, but it's still going to be 2 + 2, 4. You see, God's law is like that. All the emotions out of it for Him. You don't have to believe it, and you don't have to like it, and you can hold your breath until you turn purple. But the only way to get to the Father is through Jesus Christ. And you don't have to like it, but that does not make it not true. How many understand that? Turn your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of St. John. This is the Gospel of St. John, 18, verse 37.
Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice."
And Jesus said, I have come to bear witness to the what? To the truth. But how did he bear witness to the truth? Clearly he said to the king, I have come to bear witness to the truth. He said, you can destroy this temple, but in 3 days, I'm going to what? Build it again. Did he do it? He witnessed to the truth. He said, I am the Son of God. Did he bear witness to the truth? Clearly he did. Through his miracles and through his teachings, he was buried in a borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, and in 3 days, guess what? He rose from the dead. He bears witness to the truth. He bears witness to the truth. Now, you don't have to like it, but that doesn't make it not so. I know when you're teaching a little child mathematics in their homework, and you're helping a person with their homework, a little child, and the little child firmly believes that 3 plus 3 is 8, and you show them all the reasons why it's not 8, it's 6. If that little kid believes it's 8, we're going to have a battle going on, aren't we? The tears are going to start to flow. But my teacher told me, that's that new math, I suppose. How many of you learned that math? You had to carry the ought, you know, ought, carry the ought, you know. We learned that. How many of you learned that without a computer and a calculator? You had to do the math. See, Jen didn't even use a calculator. We had to actually do math, right? How many remember invert and multiply? Remember those rules? You see, the kid can think 3 plus 3 is 9 all day long. But 3 plus 3 is going to be what? 6. Turn to your Bibles, please. Same book, Gospel of St. John, the first chapter, verse 14.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Full of grace and full of truth. I wonder, those of us in this room that believe that we hold the truth to all of life's problems, how many of you know you don't even know all the questions yet? Amen. How many know you ain't got all the questions? How can you possibly have all the answers? And let's just suppose that you are really wise and you are really smart and you really truly think that you got all the answers to all the problems. How many of you lied at least one time? Yeah. That makes you a liar. Well, that's harsh, huh, Mark? That makes you a liar. And Jesus Christ has never been a liar. Amen. Who would we rather believe? Him or the person sitting next to you? I think I'll put my money on Jesus. How many do the same thing? I mean, I think I really will. I think I really will. And you know, an interesting thing about writing a book, how many ever wrote a book or thought you'd ever write a book? I mean, write a book. You know they give that book to somebody else to read and make sure there's no mistakes? How many know they do that? They edit it. Well, Jesus' words never had to be edited. And when you edit it, that means you're smarter than he is. Work that through in your mind. You see, when you sit there and you edit somebody's book and you say, you know, there's a better way of saying this, or the word that you use is the wrong tense, or the verb that you use is not right, or the spelling that you use is not cool, or the punctuation is wrong, when you edit somebody's work, that means you're at least as smart as what? They are. And when you edit the words of Jesus Christ, guess what that makes you? Stupid. Because you are editing the word of God. God doesn't need your editing. Mark Twain once said, you know what? It's not the things in God's word that bothers me. You know what? It doesn't bother me that I don't know what propitiation is. I don't stay awake at night worrying about what propitiation is. It doesn't bother me. I'm not worried about what justification is or regeneration. I'm not worried about that stuff. I don't lay awake at night because I can't read Greek and Hebrew. That doesn't bother me. What bothers me is the things I do understand. That's what bothers me. See, it doesn't bother me that I don't get some things. What bothers me is when I know that if I have a lustful thought in my life about a woman, I cheated on my wife. That bothers me. What bothers me is I'm a murderer if I think a harsh word about my friend. That bothers me. Help me understand that. It's not the things I don't get that bothers me, Clyde. It's the things I do that bothers me. How many can say amen to that? See, I don't want to go and change the things I don't understand. I want to change what? Things I do. Turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of St. John. Same place. You're going to stay there. John 1:17.
For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Jesus, guess what that means, Mark? You don't know the truth. Ain't that something? I mean, there are people sitting in a lot of churches on Sunday today. A lot of different pews, a lot of different seats, a lot of different places. And they're listening to somebody like me standing up there. They're bringing the word. And somebody like me can make you believe anything in the whole wide world. I can. Maybe not so much me. But there are gifted speakers that can make you believe stuff. Is that a true statement? I mean, there are really gifted orators that make you can believe anything. And you'll follow that person blindly. Hopefully not me. Don't follow me. You don't want to be in my brain. You'll be confused. You'll be messed up. Adolf Hitler comes to mind. People follow him blindly. Mm-hmm. Mussolini. People follow him blindly. Mm-hmm. How about some pastors? How about Pastor Jim Jones? How about David Koresh? How about Charles Manson? I mean, are these people gifted speakers? Sure they are. Well, yeah, they're gifted. Hey, they can bring it. They can. Jim Jones could bring it so much to convince moms to give their kids cyanide-laced Kool-Aid. How good of a gifted speaker must he have been? Crazy, but gifted. Is that not true? And if you don't know Jesus Christ, you will fall for anything. You'll fall for anything. That's why we're called sheep. Because we're followers. We're followers. How many understand that? You're followers. That's who you are. We're all followers. We want to follow somebody. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, you won't know the truth. If those folks who followed Jim Jones knew the Lord, they would have known that he's nuts. But they didn't. They followed him. John, where you are now, John. Chapter 14, verse 6.
Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
That's what Jesus said. I am the way. Nobody comes to my Father except through me. I am the truth and I am the life. Does anybody still have a hard time believing that yet? I know it makes you feel icky. I know it does. That doesn't mean it's not true. Is it? If I say to you that all Muslims in the whole world go to hell if they don't believe in Jesus Christ, that might make you feel icky. That doesn't mean it's not true. I may say to you that every person on the face of the earth, from little grandmas who bake cookies and give them out to all the kids in the neighborhood, to really mean-spirited people, if they don't go to Jesus Christ, they are going to go to hell. And you're going to say to me, oh, there you said that again. That makes me feel icky. Get to the warm and fuzzy stuff. I want the warm and fuzzies. Jesus loves me. This I know. That's what I came to hear, the warm and fuzzies. I didn't come to hear the truth. In the immortal words of Tom Cruise, I want the truth! And the more immortal words of the Marine colonel sitting on the witness stand said what? You can't handle that truth! I love that line. The other one I like is, get off my plane! How many saw that movie? I love that one too. which is only surpassed by, go ahead, make my day.
Nice.
Just because you don't like it doesn't mean it's not true. When your mother said you can't go swimming in the river because you're going to drown, and you said, but all the kids in the whole world are going there. Just because you didn't like the truth didn't mean it wasn't so. What is it about truth that you don't like? Turn your Bibles, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4.
He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice. Righteousness and upright is he.
God is the truth. God is a God of justice. God is a God of righteousness. God is sovereign. Which means he did not call a committee member of Faith Community Christian Church to sit down and see what you thought. Thank God for that. I've been in churches where we discuss the color of the wall, of paint, and I've been in churches where we discuss some goofy stuff, and nobody can get... How many know it's hard to get along with some folks, right? How many thankful God didn't ask you what you thought? And if God called us all together and said, hey, look, I'm thinking about putting down some laws. What do you think? Really? How long do you think that would have taken? Why did he get all the people together to decide on one thing? Try to decide what's for Thanksgiving Day dinner. God said, I am the truth. And I am, God says, and I want to make sure that I clarify something. Sissy reminded, I told you, my biggest, I have an editor too. My editor is Sissy on the way home. You haven't lived until your wife rides home with you from the services. And she said to me, you know, you said something last week, you might have caused a little confusion. I said, what's that? She said, you said, by quoting Jesus, you said, what way is to heaven? You said, I am. You know you're not the way. Well, I didn't mean I was the way. Jesus is the way. So making sure you understand that when I say I'm referring not to me, I'm referring to him, right? God says, I don't care what you think. I make the rules. And I am God. And what I say is true. It's true. Whether you like it or what? Not. How many are glad there is somebody that knows the truth finally? I mean, aren't you glad that somebody knows the truth about something? And you don't have to ask all your buddies and all your compadres. Just go to him and find out what is true. Turn to John 14:17.
The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you.
The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of what? Truth. And the Holy Spirit says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you until the ends of the age. And so, if the Holy Spirit is indwelling in you, and last week we had some individuals that came up and accepted Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. You doing okay? You got Jesus in you now? You cool? Cool. So the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. If the Holy Spirit is inside of you, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, let's see if we can't work this backwards. Logic. Sitting in logic class, seminary, first semester, logic. If the Holy Spirit is in me, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, therefore, logic tells me I have truth what? In me. Let's run that by you one more time. It's pretty simple logic. If I have Jesus Christ in me, the Holy Spirit dwells within me. If the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and the Holy Spirit cannot lie, the Holy Spirit is in me, that means I have the Spirit of truth where? In me. And if Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsaken you, I'm going to be with you to the ends of the earth, that means the truth is always where? In me. Now I only have to decide whether I'm going to obey it or not. And that's that wrestling match. That's that wrestling match. How many have the wrestling match that goes on inside of you? That's what Paul talks about. Paul says, geez, why is it? Why is it I know what I'm supposed to do? But yet, I do the very things I don't no, I don't want to do. What is that wrestling match? What is that thing that's going in us? That's the spirit of truth that's living inside of you. But your flesh is weak, but the truth is living inside of you. How many understand that? And that's why sometimes, you know, you open. How many's opened your mouth and inserted your foot already this year? No way! Well, are you kidding me? How many put it in so far? You tasted your decap. No way! Bob, really, truly. But how many of you, when you opened your mouth, you tasted your foot, you were very sorry for it the minute you did it? What is that? What is that? What is that thing that's inside of you? You say, oh my gosh. Wow. How many repent as quickly as you do it sometimes? So you go, oh, why did I do this again? What is that? What is that thing that's... It's a capital T. That's the Holy Spirit of truth. Saying to you, you're screwed up again. Time to get on your knees and forgive us again. See, before you didn't have that, you didn't care. How many remember those days you didn't care? How many know those days you unleashed and you kept unleashing and the person running out the door, you chase him into the parking lot? How many say that's true? And you call him, I ain't done with you yet. But what is that? What is that that says knock it off? You are no longer yours, you are mine. That thing that you were is dead. Let it stay dead. How many understand that? That's the spirit of truth. That's the spirit of truth. Turn your Bibles. Psalm 96, verse 13.
For he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth.
Oh. Sink that in. I want you to sink that in. You know, when we were younger kids, the image I hated almost more than anything, my mother standing outside the front steps when I was coming home like this. And then the question I knew was coming. Well, are you going to tell me? Now, how many know that's a loaded question? How many know that is a loaded question? How many ever had the question? Well, you going to tell me? Whew. That is a loaded question. I remember one time, I think it was our son Tommy before he died. He was 16 or something. I think it was him when Sissy had asked him, well, man, we learned some stuff we didn't even know. We didn't know about the ticket. That just came out with the well. You know, and when you're standing in front of the mom, she goes, well, how many know, man, she knows something, but you just don't know what she knows. So you don't know how far to go with this. So you start giving out tidbits. Well, what? What do you mean, what? I got a phone call from the teacher. Okay, and they go through your mind. Okay, what teacher did she get the phone call from? How many know she knows something, but you don't know what she knows? But you know she knows something. And she said, no, don't lie to me. Go, oh, she did that one to me. What truth am I going to give her? When you stand before God, and he goes, well, guess what? There ain't no place to hide. There's no place to run. When the book is open, and he looks at you with God's eyes, through your very soul, like a pane of glass, and he goes, well, no place to go. No place to hide. When he opens up the book on you, it's with his judgment and his righteousness and with the truth. And you're not hiding. Anybody fear God? I think the fear of Almighty God is like gone with the wind, right? God is righteous and God is just. And God knows the truth. But that truth... I'll do something for you. Turn to John where you were before. John 8:32. John 8:32. And you should write this in your book. Highlight it. Underline it. Put stars by it. This is one of those ones you should be able to quote just because you should quote it.
And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Woo! And you will, Robin, say it again. The truth will set you free. How many are free? How many were so captive before? Oh, Robin, give me the eye roll, Robin. Oh. It's true. Everybody thinks that Christians are dull and boring and we are so enslaved into our beliefs. Are you kidding me? How many more free today than you ever were before? You're walking in a world of freedom now, aren't you? You know the truth, and the truth is what? Set you free. That wide road is full of liars and deceivers and snakes in the grass. The wide road, don't take it. It's the narrow road. This is where the truth lies. Over there, lies. Everybody will promise you everything over there. The world is great. The Lord is special. You are great. You are so special. You can have it all. Lies. All lies. How many know that's all lies? All lies. You want the narrow road. That's where the truth lies. And the truth will what? Set you free. One of the hardest questions that I have to ask in my weekly existence, what I do, is the why question. Why? Why did God do this? Why did God do that? Why am I praying for my loved one and they're dying? Why is there cancer all through them? Why? And that haunting question. How many ever asked the question why? The haunting question. Why? Why? I'm invited tomorrow night to go to Ridgeway Church to speak to the men of the church. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, I'll be a guest speaker for the church. And you might have heard on the news a couple weeks past, there was a woman with a little 11-year-old son in the car. And she crossed over the medium in Pittsburgh and hit an SUV head-on, and that boy died. He was 11. And she was the biological mother of the child. It was her time for his visit to go there. And left the biological father and his wife. And unfortunately, I don't know, was she distracted? I don't know. But regardless, it was just 2 weeks ago in the news. Anybody see that? She crossed over, hit an SUV head on. She got a cut in her head and the boy died. And they want me to speak tomorrow at 7 o'clock to the men's group there at the Ridgeway Church to talk to them about how I processed the death of my son being killed by a drunk driver. To speak to the men's group. And I can assure you that 8 years ago when it happened to me, I never thought 8 years from now I'd be the guest speaker of some church talking about that. But I am. I'm going to do it. And the father of that boy is going to be right there. And I will have the opportunity to set him free. And how could I do that? Because I know the truth. What's the truth? The truth is that people die in this world. We live in a fallen world. And we want to live in a perfect place. We want to live in such a perfect place, but we don't live in a perfect place. We live in a rotten, stinking, fallen, existed world where sin and diseases is rampant because of the fall of man. How many understand that? But only through the grace of God and His goodness can we exist in any way, shape, or form anyhow. Only by His grace can we get through this because we are the salt of the earth. How many understand that? This world is messed up. How many know this world is messed up? But because the world is messed up does not mean I have to be messed up. I'm in it, but I'm not of it. Would I rather have had my son not be killed? Well, of course. Pam, same. Of course. Pam had the same experience as I had. In case you don't know Pam, that's David Cook's mom back there. She went through it too. We'd rather not have to go through this. But we did. And the truth has set me free. I don't concentrate on the whys. I concentrate on the who. On the who. And the truth of what? Sets you free. You guys went through this with a granddaughter. You don't concentrate on the why. The why is a haunting question. And even if you had the answer to all the whys in the whole world, you still got to live through it. Don't you? You still got to live through it. So pray for me tomorrow, 7 o'clock. I'll be talking to a men's group about the death of my son and relating that to the death of his son. And I'll need your prayer, but I'm going to do it. Like Queen Esther, I'm prepared for a time such as this. The truth will set you free. When I forgave the guy that killed my son, I got set free. And the Bible said I would. And I did. For the truth will what? set you free. Do you know the truth? Or are you captive? Are you still captive? Are you captive of all the haunting questions? Are you captive to the lies? Or are you set free because of the truth? Here's the truth. In this world, you will have trouble. How many understand that? Jesus said it, and it's a fact. In this world, you will have trouble. But Jesus said, but you will overcome because I have overcome. You can either be a succumber, Clyde, or an overcomer. The world has enough succumbers. We need some overcomers. How many want to be overcomers? I want to be an overcomer. Turn to your Bibles, please. Let's read that gospel message. Let's put it together. John 8. Let's incorporate now 31 and 32. John 8, 31 and 32.
Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, and you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
If you abide in my word, you are my disciple. Did you check that out? Let me make sure that I bring you up to speed with this. I am so glad that you're here today in the cold, sitting in a black chair. At the board of directors meeting the other day, we were talking about the growth of the church. The church is growing. We're thankful for that. But see, we don't want the church to grow by more people coming. We want the church to grow by more people believing. There's a big difference between those two things. Listen to me. You can sit here all day long. I don't know why you would, but you could. And you can listen to some more music, and you can listen to some more preaching, you can listen to some more praying, you can put some money in the offering plate, you can do all those things, walk out, get a calendar, and get a box of envelopes. But that ain't going to set you free. You'll walk out here as captive as when you came in. That's the truth. You can listen to me, you can download every sermon I've ever brought, and there are people who do. But that won't set you free. The truth will set you free. And where do you find the truth? Somebody hold up the truth for me. Somebody hold up. That's the truth right there. You are not in that, then the truth is not in you. You don't have Jesus in you, you don't have the truth. You're on the wide road, and you'll follow anything that sounds good. Sue and I was talking a couple months past. She and I love the History Channel, the Learning Channel. Anybody love that stuff? I love it. I love it. But I look at all that stuff, right? I'm serious. I look at the History Channel, the Learning Channel, the Discovery Channel. I love that stuff. And then they tell me, and I'm just making it up, no, Jesus came on a spaceship from Mars. I look at that, and I get my pocket. And I think, I wonder how many people just believe that. But I just love watching that stuff. But I check with what they're telling me or showing me against the what? The truth. And the truth is what? Right here, Butch, hold that up. That's the truth, and the truth will set you free. Set you free. When somebody tells you something, or I tell you something, or an elder tells you something, or somebody else's church tells you something, or some counselor tells you something, or somebody tells you something, check it. Against what? The truth. I told you before, and it's worth me telling you again, Satan is not bothered by you reading that Bible today. He's seen you do that last Sunday. Not intimidated. Jimmy, he doesn't care. Oh, he doesn't. Rob, he don't care. He's seen you do that neck last Sunday, and he's thinking, man, I got the pattern. I got the way this works. 7 days in between. They come on Sunday, they read it, they put it away, they put it in the shelf, and I got 6 days to tell them some lies. I got 6 days to play around in here. How many understand that's the way that it works? And then you come here, and I try the best I can by giving you the truth and go back inside that 6 days with the garbage and clean it out. Then you go back home, put the word away. I'll start around 1 o'clock. I'll get them. I got 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon till the following Sunday. I'll get them. And you don't think I'm lying to you? Guess where Satan plays? Fertile soil of your mind. And you see, you getting in the word doesn't bother him. It's the word getting in you. When Monday afternoon somebody's laying some garbage on you, go, whoa, time out, buddy. I don't need to go get the book. I know the book. And what you just said is a lie. It's a lie. Turn your Bibles, please. John 16, 13.
However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come.
Spirit of truth will guide you in what?
All truth. All truth.
What about the things you don't like?
That too. That too.
Are you following the prompting of the Holy Spirit? I had a meeting with the praise team a couple Mondays past. And we had talked briefly about, you know, and just want to let you know, praise team works really hard. They work really hard. They do this. In case, I just want to let you know. Not that they need your praise, because they don't. Not that they're asking for your accolade, because they don't. They're not. They're doing it for the glory of God. But I want you to know, they work hard at that. And they meet on Monday nights down at the pub down Sonny and Judy's place, and they spend hours working on music. It's you know, just want to let you know that. But I let you know that to get to this point, and I told them. And I told them. And I know they believe me. We don't use bulletins in this church because we are led by the Holy Spirit of God. And I told them, and I know they're on one accord. And if the Holy Spirit of God tells us not to do one song we practice, we're okay with it. We're okay with that too. Because we're led by the Spirit. Praise team, you guys, right? Pray. We're led by the Spirit. If he says, we're not doing any of those songs, what do you want us to do, Lord? If he says, I want you to sit down and not do anything, we're okay with that, Lord. Are you okay with that in your life too? Are you okay to change plans and directions by the prompting of the Holy Spirit? I don't know. I don't know if you are. So I am. If I came here this morning and God said, I don't want you to bring that message, I need you to do this, I'd do it in a heartbeat and wouldn't even care. Because he's in charge. How many, the Holy Spirit of God is in charge? He's in charge. He needs to be more in charge for this hour and a half. He needs to be in charge of your whole life. Let's do one more. 1 John chapter 4, verse 6.
We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
Pretty clearly there, brothers and sisters. You listen to somebody and they're telling you a lie, they're not of God. They're not of God. You must know the truth. The truth that will set you free. And that's why here in Faith Community Christian Church, we use a ton of scripture. That's why we tell you to turn to it. If you're not turning to it, we have you listen to it. Let's do one more, Sue. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 4.
I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears from the truth and turn aside to fables.
All right, let's just end with that. We're in a generation right now that a lot of our churches, people are turned away from the truth, and they will find people that will preach them what they want to hear. They will seek out teachers that will teach them what they want to hear. There are people right now in counseling offices counseling the counselor. I have been in those situations where I'm counseling somebody, and they're really counseling me. They're paying good money to teach me. Really? You need to counsel me? And there are people, honestly, who do not want counsel, they want affirmed. And there are people right now in churches who want the truth according to them. I have had people who have told me, Pastor Tom, I love you like a brother, but I just can't take that constant convicting and can't take that. They want the warm and the fuzzies. Well, I'm not about the warm and the fuzzies. I'm about the truth. And you know what? In that immortal words of Tom Cruise, you want the truth? Some of us can't handle it. Can't handle it. That's okay. You're going to get it here. You won't get, you know, give your kids cool label cyanide in it here. You'll get the truth. Because we need to love you more than we are afraid of you. Because one day, I will stand before a holy God. And he will say to me, well, you had your shot. And you didn't give him the truth. How many can handle the truth here? Okay, well, you're going to get it here. You're going to get the truth to set you free. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the truth that has set us free. Lord, we need to know the truth. Because we will be judged according to the truth. We can pretend it away, and Lord, we can wish it away, and we can hope it away, but the truth is the truth. 2 + 2 is always going to be 4. So Lord, help us to know the truth that will set us free. Help us to impart the truth that will set us free. And Lord, we just thank you so much for giving us the truth that will set us free. Lord, help us stay focused on the narrow road, not the wide one. That's full of lies over there. Focus on the narrow one. In your most holy and awesome and wonderful name, we pray these things. And all of God's people said, amen.